This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, A Different Tune. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. When Todd Simpson was 8 years old, he discovered he had a gift for music, and that talent may be intertwined with a difficult genetic disorder and a brain injury. Shai Ben Yaakov takes us to rural Alabama to meet Todd.
I've traveled to Gipps Place in a small town about 20 minutes outside of Birmingham. Gipps Place is not much more than a lean-to with a tiny stage and autographed pictures of just about every great blues musician ever to tour the South. I'm here to see the young man plugging into the amp and strapping on his guitar.
Put your hands together for Todd Simpson, the Mojo Town.
Todd Simpson steps up to the mic. He's thin and rangy with a frizzy blonde ponytail and a piercing gaze. He's wearing a plaid rodeo-style shirt, cowboy boots, and torn jeans. Everything about him is raw, including his playing. Todd closes his eyes and opens his mouth. His face turns a dark shade of pink as he belts out the lyrics. But there's a little more going on here than a blues performance. Todd Simpson has something called synesthesia. That's where two of your senses get crossed. So as he's playing the music, he's seeing colors at the same time. And somehow, these colors tell him exactly what notes to play. He says playing music is like humming.
I don't even have to worry, am I going to hit that note? I don't worry about it, because I know that note inevitable. It's there. And it's as simple as, you know, when you're humming, you're not thinking, am I going to, when I'm doing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, hit the right thing? I think if you're thinking about it, you're not going to hit it. You're going to be, missed it.
His music evokes ecstatic joy and the deepest suffering. And when you learn about Todd's early life, you can understand where that pain comes from. Here's his father, Wes, talking about the day Todd was born.
It was an uneventful birth. I mean, it was a good birth, and he was a pretty little blonde-headed baby.
But just minutes later, doctors put Todd on oxygen. Eventually, a cardiologist came in and determined his pulmonary artery, which pumps blood to the lungs, was blocked.
And they took him in for his surgery. And when he come and sat down for us, and he said, we'll be very honest with you, your son has about a 5% chance of surviving the surgery. I mean, all of a sudden it hits you in the face, as, you know, when you're kissing your baby, you know, on the forehead before they take him in, and think, you know, it starts realizing, you start thinking 5%.
Did you think at that point you would never see him again?
Absolutely.
Todd survived the surgery, had a really slow and complicated recovery, but he did finally go home.
And he probably was 6 months old.
He had to be tube-fed, and he wasn't growing well. Over the next couple of years, he was virtually always in the hospital.
He had been in the hospital for over 770 days by his third birthday.
Then Todd started choking all the time.
He had one of the choking episodes where his esophagus filled up. And it freaked out the cardiologist to the point that he said, oh my gosh, this is horrible.
The doctors tried many things to help. One suggestion was a neck surgery to cut off Todd's esophagus and reroute it out the side of his neck for drainage. Todd would not be able to eat like most children do. He'd probably never talk.
And I remember me and my wife talking right before it happened, and I said, you do realize his life is never going to be very normal. You do realize this is going to be a child that's never going to be invited to sleepovers. That's never going to, you know, no girl's going to ever, he's never going to have a date. He's never going to, I mean, you do realize the magnitude of what we're looking at. And we did, but we thought that was our only choice.
On the day, there was a complication, and doctors ended up canceling the neck surgery. But the back and forth, the uncertainty and worry for Todd's future were a big part of the Simpsons' life for a long time. There was always some new scary procedure ahead of them. But after one particular surgery, something miraculous happened.
Well, I came out of the second heart surgery, I'd eaten ice cream. I never forget that either. It was sherbet ice cream.
And I'm eating.
The family doesn't really know why Todd was suddenly able to eat or why the choking stopped. But the surgery wasn't a cure-all. Todd would get frequent fevers, it turned out his immune system didn't work all that well, and he had other issues like a severe speech impediment and delays in crawling and walking. The list went on and on and on. And Todd's parents just knew it all had to be connected.
My wife had always just said, he has to have a syndrome.
When he was 8, Todd's parents took him in for genetic testing. And they learned he has something called 22q. Here's Donna McDonald McGinn. She runs a center focused on 22q at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia.
22q is a tiny piece of chromosome missing that results in loss of genes, and genes determine everything about us, our hair color, our eye color, how tall we are. And in this instance, there are about 50 genes missing from the 22nd chromosome.
When genes are missing, it's like missing steps to the instructions of how the body is supposed to build itself. Doctors don't completely know which steps get left out, but they do know some of the general areas that get affected when you're missing these particular genes.
Congenital heart disease, differences in the palate or the roof of the mouth, problems with infection, so immunodeficiency, some feeding differences, and then many people who have this tiny piece of chromosome missing have differences in learning style.
So having a diagnosis didn't help Todd all that much. He still had all these health problems. He was smaller than everyone in his class. He had this speech problem. And it turned out he had some learning differences.
He is totally dyslexic. As dyslexic as a person can be.
One doctor said, the only thing I can think is when he said that he says Chinese.
But there was one thing Todd excelled at. Music.
So I had a nurse named Valerie, and she would play tons of old blues albums and soul albums. And when you were confined in a room for a long period of time, you know, that becomes your reality.
And Todd, even from a really early age, loved to sing.
When I was in preschool, that became an issue. That, you know, Todd's got a loan not to come to school and sing the whole time.
Music was an escape. And one day,
he walked into a room and a friend of mine and myself were playing guitars, and Todd reached in a box of toys and picked up a harmonica.
And somehow, he could play it.
And we were just blown away. And that was the first really good thing that ever happened, you know, in his life, you know, a positive thing, really.
So Wes took Todd to a local music festival where they met this blues guitarist named Willie King.
He said, you got a harmonica with you? And Todd said, yes, sir. And he said, play me a little bit. Hit me a lick, he's what he said. Hit me a lick. And Todd pulled it out and played a little, and he said, whoa. And he told that guard, he said, tell you what, open that gate. And he said, he's playing on me today.
So Todd got to play with this legendary blues man. He gets written up in the paper, this 8-year-old kid playing harmonica like a pro. And pretty soon, he's getting all these offers from other blues guys to play. This goes on all through Todd's teen years. And then at 17, Todd realizes he can do the same thing on a guitar.
And, I mean, it's like he'd been playing all his life. And, I mean, blistering leads and stuff.
Pretty quickly, Todd started playing festivals. He and his dad formed a band. Word about him eventually got around, and he started playing gigs all over the South, then outside of the South.
He had been playing 3 months, I guess, maybe, when he opened a show for the Allman Brothers, and then, you know, and that hit a string. We opened for Huey Lewis and the News, Confederate Railroad,
Sister Hazel,
Paul Thorne a few times.
And now, 12 years later, this is Todd's life. The band tours, mostly in the South. They've got 3 albums. Todd still basically can't read except for some sight words. Music is how he makes his living. Todd's family thinks he has a gift from God. But science can offer some clues about the source of his talent. During one of his procedures, he actually had a stroke. And a stroke can cause the brain to rewire itself.
The brain needs to reorganize itself in order to produce cognitive abilities. And because parts of the brain are damaged, you can get connections between parts of the areas of the brain that normally would not be connected.
That's Edward Moss. He's a neuropsychologist who works specifically with kids who have this disorder. And he says people with 22q do have brains that are just a little different.
So it might be this incredible happenstance of Todd's having 22q and having, you know, a miswiring that somehow brings it all together uniquely for him.
So to be clear, the stroke is just one theory. It could be the explanation for Todd's ability, but it might not be. And Todd's musical gift might just be that, a gift.
Todd doesn't really care, and neither does his audience.
Shai, you spend a lot of time reporting this story, traveling to Alabama, getting to know Todd. Mm-hmm. But this goes beyond work for you. This story was personal for you, too.
It is personal, Mike, and here's why.
Hi.
This is Amos. He's my younger son, and he has 22Q. He says cat sometimes. It wasn't so clear in that one.
How old is Amos now?
Amos is 16 months old, and he was born with a similar heart defect to Todd's, not exactly the same and not as severe. So when he was 3 months old, he did have a heart surgery, and he has a few other minor health problems, nothing even close to what Todd went through. He's a little small for his age, like Todd was, but he's pretty healthy and he's a happy kid.
Now, I was very surprised that it took so long for Todd to get the diagnosis. You knew very early on, right after Amos was born, that he had 22Q, right?
Yeah, we're really fortunate to be near the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, which is basically the center for this disorder in the country. So they picked it up actually before he was born on a cardiac echo. They detected his heart condition, and then he was diagnosed very shortly after he was born. But a lot of people, especially in rural areas, get missed, which is why it's actually hard to get a handle on just how many people have 22Q.
Now, hearing Todd's story and hearing about this gift that he has, what do you take away from that, thinking about your son?
So I realize that musical talent like Todd's is incredibly rare. But I think, you know, for me and for a lot of 22Q parents, there's anxiety around the trauma that your kids – that you're afraid that your kids are going to go through around all of their illnesses. And a lot of these kids are really, really sick. And talking to Todd, what I get more than anything is that, you know, here's a guy who went through just about everything there is to go through. And he got through it, and not only did he get through it, but he found something he really loves, and he's making that his life. And I think that's all any parent of any child with a disorder or without a disorder wants for their kids.
Thank you, Shai.
Thank you, Mikan. And-